الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله I spent a few sessions thus far talking about the endless subject of the importance of character and the last thing I mentioned is the blessed statement of Yahya ibn Mu'ad rahmatullah alayhi who said seeing other people is a gateway to riya. Seeing other people is a gateway to riya, meaning that you start putting on airs in front of other people. You don't act yourself. Therefore, many of the Salaf would prefer seclusion than the company of others. On the same theme, Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, he had clarified in his work, For Friends, Volume 1, page 106-7 of the English translation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would supplicate, Allahumma ahyini miskina. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep me alive in a state of miskin. Wa amitni miskina. Let me die in a state of miskina. Wahshurni fi zumratil masakin. And raise me up in the company of the miskin. But what does this mean? One person who read this blessed hadith came to me and said, Hazrat, to be in a state of miskeen is to be in poverty, which is so difficult. I responded, Subhanallah, that is not the meaning of miskeen here. The meaning of miskeen in this context is ijaz or inkisari, humility and humbleness, and qasri nafs, either broken nafs. Thus meaning, one is supplicating to consider oneself the most wretched creature on earth and not to look with contempt at anyone else. Indeed, this is the meaning attached to the word miskeen in this sacred narration. So let's look at this quote. So the Shaykh Muhammad Masihullah Khan Sahib, he quotes a very famous dua of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's found in many of the books of hadith in the sunnahs. And if you take it literally, it looks like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making a dua that he lives as a poor person, miskeen. He dies as a poor person, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's raised, because I want to be raised with the poor miskeen. So one of the students of the Shaykh, he says, this is difficult, Shaykh. He goes, should we make this dua? And the Shaykh said, miskeen here does not mean poverty. Miskeen here means humility and humbleness, the broken nafs. Thus, what the Prophet was supplicating for was that he had the absolutely pure heart, that he didn't look down upon anybody, and he considered himself to be the lowest. And he goes, this is what the Prophet was supplicating for, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note many, many famous reports, people misunderstand them. So how is the word miskeen related to humility? Because the miskeen is the one who humbles himself. It doesn't just mean poor. So here the Prophet was asking for the humble heart, the pure heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the true believer is the very manifestation of humility. Consider Hudhayfa's report, radiyallahu anhu. In Ahmad in his Musnad 4-118 Sahih, a man was brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was asked, what did you do in the world? He will respond, I have not even done an atom's weight of good work so that I can ask you for anything in return. Subhanallah. So this is part of a long report. But in this Sahih hadith, look how humble that servant is. Allah Ta'ala asks him, what do you do in the world? His response, due to utter humility, I haven't even done an atom's weight of good work so that I can ask you for anything. So either he's a big shaitan or he's a saintly soul. The context is he's a saintly soul. When Allah Ta'ala asks him that question, he goes, nothing. Not even an atom's weight. But of course, he's done many, many good deeds. Now, why is he displaying that? Because he's a miskeen. The Prophet's dua, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, the manifestation of humility. In another report, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from birth fell into prostration and died from old age in prostration, he would still belittle that in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith, think about that. Impossible. Child's born, obviously we know it can't go into prostration, and if it does, it won't survive long. But the Prophet is giving you the hypothetical, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If it could fall into prostration and then live till old age, even then, despite being in prostration from the moment of birth till death, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He will still belittle it. Now, what is the Prophet highlighting here? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's highlighting that the believer is miskeen. He doesn't boast about his deeds. In fact, quite the opposite. He belittles his deeds. How pertinent therefore were the words of Abu Darda. So who's Abu Darda? Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he was a famous Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, and he was given the title Hakim al-Ummah, the doctor of this nation. Think about that. We were a doctor of this nation. His name's Abu Darda. But it meant spiritual doctor. He was also a physical doctor. He was sent by Umar radiyallahu anhu to Damascus. And he says, I'm only going to teach. I don't want any governorship. So when he went to Damascus, people living in luxury, then he starts letting loose upon these people. In Al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi, in his Nawadir al-Usul, Abu Darda, he warned the people, what is the matter with you? That you do not love one another, even though you are brothers in religion. Indeed, nothing has put you at odds with one another, except the corruption that lurks within your souls. Had you united on a common cause, you would have loved one another. Your condition is only the result of the weak iman within your heart. Then he said, were you to have certainty in the good and the evil that awaits in the akhirat, then you would have been more eager in your pursuit of the life to come. Alas, what an evil people you are, barring only a few amongst you. So let's look at this. So Abu Darda, obviously, he's giving the people advice. And he says, you say you're Muslims, but why don't you love one another? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? He goes, you will never enter paradise until you love one another. So the Sahaba then says, Ya Rasulullah, how? And then the Prophet ﷺ said, spread the salam, afshus salam. Meaning it's obligatory to have that in, to have love for your brothers. So Abu Darda goes, you say you're brothers, but where's your love? Then he says, this is what's causing it. This is why he's called Hakim al-Ummah. There's something in your hearts lurking, causing you to divide. He goes, if you united on a common cause, you would have loved one another. Now what did he mean by this deep statement? If you look into our history, one of the great uniting factors for the Muslims was jihad. Muslims would bicker, would argue over splitting hairs. But when the call for jihad came, they united. Right? So that's one of the great blessings of jihad. Why? Because you're not bothered. You're fighting a common enemy now. We're all Muslims. Let's go for the enemies. So he said, had you united on a common cause, you would have loved one another. In other words, you're not doing things that causes unity. And then he says, weakness in your iman, this is causing this. Then he said something else. If you had certainty in the good and evil, meaning we all believe that we're going to get rewarded in the hereafter. Nobody says no. You might get punished. Nobody yet. But then he goes, if you had certainty in that, you would be more eager. This is the problem. Some people have more yaqeen. Yes, no doubt. And you notice it affects their whole ibadat. Others are weak. So they're dragging their feet to the akhirat. And then he said, what an evil people you are, only barring a few amongst you. Subhanallah, Abu Darda addressed a segment of people who fit that description. But subhanallah, today virtually all of them have taken this path. Think about that. What would he say to the ummah now? Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu. Note also, a man asked our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the best deed. Now think about that. A man said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the best deed? And he said something very interesting. To believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day and to have no doubts therein. This is in Nasa'i, Abu Dawud and Targhib. So, what's strange about this hadith? The Sahaba asked, I want to know afdalul amal, the best deed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, and then he added something, and to have no doubts therein. That's iman. But it's the most beloved deed. Why? Because that's the generator. Some people have doubts. And it wouldn't be an exaggeration that many Muslims, they actually have doubts. Think about that. Because maybe there is maybe a possibility that I won't get resurrected. Astaghfirullah. Right? They even make statements like this, I hope you're right, to the non-Muslims. Well, how can they be right? There's no doubt about being resurrected. So here the Prophet said, this is the best deed. Why? Because it generates. If you've got no doubt, you'll have no doubt in your deeds. But if you're doubting the ultimate abode, you're going to doubt your deeds. As Abu Darda clearly articulated above, for then the generator, for one to be more even avid in their pursuit of the life to come. What did he say? If you had certainty in the good and the evil that awaits in the hereafter, you would be even more eager in your pursuit of the life to come. Another example I can give you is Salman al-Farsi, radiyallahu. And what's interesting, they were paired up. Salman al-Farsi and Abu Darda were paired up, radiyallahu. So what happened was, there's a hadith in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya and Hayat al-Sahaba. And somebody came into this locality. And everybody's like, oh yeah. So he walks and everybody's looking after him like his son, like he's a son. And he's thinking, subhanAllah, these people are like angels. So he goes to Salman al-Farsi. He goes, I've never seen a day like this. He goes, what have you seen? So the man goes, everybody is so strong. You know, they're looking after me. I don't understand. So Salman al-Farsi, look what he said, radiyallahu. He said, shall I explain? He goes, yes. He goes, if you have an animal and that animal serves you, so you, for example, a horse takes you on a journey, or an ox that plows, and he goes, if you feed it regularly, how does it work? So the man goes, well, it's going to work as it should work. He goes, what if you don't feed it regularly? Then how does it work? So the man goes, well, if it does work, it's going to probably stop halfway through the day, or it's going to be very sluggish. He goes, the people you've seen, their iman is strong. So you see it in their deeds. They're working hard because they're fed. So what was he talking about? Look at these beautiful points the Sahaba are making, radiyallahu. This is why your amal's weak, because you got doubts. If you've got doubts, a person's dragging his feet. Forget about sunnah. He'll be dragging his feet to the farad. Because he'd be given papadams, right? What's papadam going to do, brother? Right? Imagine, I want a full meal. And that's how Salman al-Farsi said, this is, you see it in the deeds. Abu Darda, who was paired up with him, said the same thing. And to crown it off, the Prophet said it. The best deed is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day and to have no doubts therein. One must flee from social sins like the plague itself. Now this is disastrous. In Mirqat al-Mafatih, volume 8, page 811, number 5083, it is related. A person dreamt and he saw a dead person whom he then asked, Mafa'alallahu bik? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deal with you? Don't forget the person's died, the dreaming person seeing him. Because how did it fare? The dead said, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven me. However, my accountability was conducted. I was interrogated about the day when I was sitting in a friend's shop. I was observing fast on that day when I was in my friend's shop. At Maghrib, I was about to break my fast. I picked a grain of wheat from the sack. I was just about to eat it when I realized that the grain was not mine. Therefore, I put it back in its place. Though subhanallah, I was held accountable just for picking another's grain. And my good deeds were reduced according to the damage I had committed. So let's look at this. So first, where is this recorded? Hafiz Mulla Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, in his commentary of Mishkat, Mirqat, number 5083. So picture the scene. Pious man, he's having a good dream, he sees a dead person, also pious. He's, how did it go? Alhamdulillah, I've been forgiven. Meaning, I've passed. But then he says, however, I was taken to task for one thing. And you think, what did he do? What great crime did he commit? This is what he was fasting. Imagine, he's fasting. He's in his friend's shop. It's just before Maghrib. So he's thinking, right, I'll just pick a grain up. I'll break my fast with it. Did he eat it? No. He goes, no, astaghfirullah, it's not mine. Put it back. He goes, I was taken to account for that. And my good deeds were reduced according to the damage I had committed. What sin did he commit? Subhanallah. Just plucking someone else's grain of wheat can cause damage to one's akhirat. And this is without even consumption. Alas, nowadays people help themselves to a full meal by barging into gatherings whilst uninvited, despite the fact that the Sharia does not allow one to attend someone's gathering without being invited. Our beloved Messenger had warned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Abu Dawood in his Sunan, number 3741, the one who attends a gathering without being invited has then entered as a thief and exited wreaking havoc. Astaghfirullah. One who attends a gathering without being invited has entered as a thief and exited wreaking havoc. How many times have people done that? Brother, have you been invited? No, I just came. I know the guy, and his dad knows my dad, and I'm his nephew. Have you been invited? I asked you what your relationship was. You go, oh, no, we got connections. Have you been invited? They don't get it. Cracking meal. Sometimes they take a little double home as well. And somebody goes, do you know what you've just done? He goes, what? You've just committed theft. And you've left wreaking havoc. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Then think about this. What of those who take others' properties and land unlawfully? Those who do not pay back their debts. Now this is how destructive it is. Sheikh Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullah Ali, he had given the following stark warning. This is in Fatawa Razawiyah, volume 25, page 69. So the Sheikh said, the one who will not clear someone's debt of about 3 pesa, around, let's say, 30 pence, he will have to give 700 congregational salat in compensation on the Day of Judgment. When I read that, my heart literally went flying off. 30 pence. If I owe somebody 30 pence and I don't pay him off, I'm going to have to give 700 congregational salats in exchange for that. Who said that? Sheikh Ahmad Raza Khan Al-Hanafi, Rahmatullah Ali. So let's just put this into English so you understand what I'm saying. For around the unpaid debt of just 10 pence, one will have to give 47 days of congregational prayer in which one has offered all 5 prayers every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. I mean, think about that. 10 pence. People think it's a joke. And somebody goes, well, I didn't just rip this guy for 30 pence, mate. 30 grand. Well, okay, say goodbye, brother. Kiss what goodbye? Your ibadat. Backbiting. What's fascinating to conclude about backbiting is that Allah Ta'ala tells you that you will have to hand over your deeds. The hadith mentions that. It also mentions they will pile their sins on you. But have you noticed? Nowhere does it mention the amount. Have you ever come across a hadith where it says, if you backbite your brother, you have to give hajj to him? Does it mention the amount? Or he will place 100 sins of his on you. Now why are you thinking small? Think about that. Why do you think Allah Ta'ala has not mentioned it? Because you can expect destruction, mate. You think, okay, I'll backbite this guy, he's going to take, you know, 20 nafils. Guess what, brother? If 10 pence takes out 47 days of congregational prayers, I think backbiting is going to take your patloon off. Right? So note, social sins are destructive. And what's strange is, you see the guys praying 5 times. Yeah, still doing the ibadah. And you're thinking, well, you might as well be working for that guy. You've ripped him off. Right? He's not a poor guy. You're working for him now. Now, why does Allah Ta'ala treat this with such severity? Because it's got nothing to do with him. The hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there's 3 accounts. One, Allah Ta'ala is very merciful. One is, he won't forgive at all. And the second, he's very strict. The one that he's very merciful is his rights. So for instance, your salat, something's happened to your salat, Allah Ta'ala will show great mercy. That's his right. Oh, you didn't fast in Ramadan, it's his right. You didn't go to Hajj. The hadith says he will show great mercy. The one that he will not show any mercy is shirk. You die with shirk, khuda hafiz, mate. Then the Prophet said, there's one that he's very, very strict in. The Prophet said, social accounts. Because he will not show mercy. Why? Because it's unjust on his part. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, for the sake of the one that you thought you ripped off, Allah Ta'ala deals with you. And that's why this is so important. The reason people think it's a small thing, people don't talk about it. They talk about salat, so they finally, the penny drops, I need to pray. Hajj, I need to go to Hajj. The penny hasn't dropped here for many people. People think, and they get a kind of pleasure from it as well. This is what's shocking. Brother, you owe that guy money, why don't you pay him off? Oh, brother, this is how you have to be in the world. What? He's justifying it. He goes, no, this is what you, people praise you for this. Praise you for what? Taking money off people, not paying them back. He goes, this is how you keep people under control. Good luck on day of judgment, man. Imagine, you die in debt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala does not even spare the martyr from debt. Imagine, somebody's on battlefield, 100%, full shariat, hasn't done anything wrong, gives his life. You're thinking, straight to paradise. No, he doesn't. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes, wait, he hasn't paid his zakat, he hasn't paid his debts. Even a martyr, Allah Ta'ala doesn't spare. Then what about the non-martyr? So note, be very, very strict. This is why there's a report. It's not a hadith. The awliyas have said, rahimahumullah, live with each other, love each other like brothers, but do business like strangers. Love each other like brothers, but do business like strangers. Meaning, nothing personal. And look, I don't want to take any risks here. And that's what you notice sometimes. You see some ulama, when it comes to a business transaction, they start getting witnesses that write it down. And you get the impression, he doesn't trust it. That's not the case. They're just being very strict. Why? Because they fear they may cause an oppression. But go back to the initial report. The guy did not even eat the grain. Allah Ta'ala took him to task for that. Imagine. Right? Astaghfirullah. So all I mentioned today was basically a few blessed reports again with regards to character. First, I mentioned the report about miskeen, the famous hadith of miskeen. But people misunderstand that dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then I mentioned a little about having no doubts. The key point is not to have doubts about the hereafter. Then your deeds will start getting strong. The doubt occurs, then it affects your deeds. And then I mentioned the frightening reports about social sins. You have to keep away from them like the plague itself. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم.